Welcome to Cash Considerations, the podcast that takes you behind the Las Vegas sportsbook from the guys that actually work behind it, with your hosts, Alan Berg, Dave Sharapan, and Matoy Pearson.
Welcome to the Cash Considerations podcast. Tonight, I'm going to kind of steer the ship, as we call it, be the host. And as always, I got the boys tonight. First, we'll bring in AB, Alan Berg. How are you, sir?
Oh, man. I'm buried in it.
Where is it? The Ides of March are upon us, boys. And yes, that's a good way to describe it. So we've got AB, and we've got from the laughter in the back, Mo Toy. What's up, Mo?
Big Dave, what's going on, my man? I had a late lunch. I'm here late, but you know, I'm ready to roll as usual.
Yeah, you know, in this business, we kind of take breaks when we can, and you know, you guys put in a crazy shift with the late night stuff. You had a late night hot dog for lunch. That's what it was.
Yeah. So basically, okay. Now for me, it'd be like a 6 or maybe 5 p.m., but it's actually 1 a.m. our time. So that's what I'm kind of living off right now.
All right. Well, so we're going to swing it around. Like I said, it is March officially. We're recording late night, March 1st, early night or early morning, March 2nd. We're looking at college basketball, which, you know, we put AB on pause. He can get some work done and listen in the background. If he feels, AB, you feel like you want to jump in and throw anything in as we're talking, do it. But otherwise,
the odds are 40 to 1.
Oh, long odds.
Okay. I'd be short on that. Shorten it, dude.
Oh, wow.
There is no price on no.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's a special.
Yeah, of course it is. of course, it's a special.
We'll go back and forth with some stuff here, Mo, for NCAA basketball, and then we'll jump back into some NBA with Alan and dive into some other things. UFC specialty for AB. I'm sure he has some opinions on the card for Saturday night at T-Mobile. And then got some other things I just want to bounce off you guys. So that's kind of the outline for the show. Thank you to the listeners. And, you know, however you find us, either through Gaming Today or all the different ways to find podcasts, subscribe on iTunes. Thank you for listening. Here we go. Mo Toy, Saturday college basketball. Well, before we jump into some games and stuff, did you anything surprise you this week as far as college basketball? Teams making a move. I mean, you know, Duke losing at Virginia Tech. I don't think that was a big surprise.
Yeah, no. You know, and that's without Zion as well. But, you know, Virginia Tech's been pretty good. So, I mean, I guess to some people in the world, it was a surprise. But, you know, I thought it was a better win for Virginia Tech than a worse loss for Duke.
Okay. Well, and that's kind of what's happening now. As teams make their final resume building wins, so to say, as we come down the stretch before the conference tourneys, I think it's opened up a little bit, right, with Zion in question?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I still think they're taking precaution like we talked about last week. But I still think he'll be healthy enough to get in and help him out when need be. So I still think he's going to
be playing.
I think he's going to play. I mean, he's already started it. He's already started out, and it seems like he's already a big team guy as it is. So, I mean, there's a future to look out for. But I know I know he's a basketball player as well. So I'm pretty sure it hurts for him not to be on the court, especially, you know, losing that game, you know, per se.
Yeah. AB was pretty adamant, though. He said there's no chance in hell he would play if he was in his position. So right. I'm sure he's got people in his ear talking about it and saying that, but I think he's going to play. I just think there's something to seeing it through, whether it's one and done or not. You still, if he can play, he's going to want to win that championship. So, but you know, the door's open now. If he doesn't play, I think Duke is vulnerable, you know, between the top teams. Kentucky's got a big game tomorrow.
Revenge game.
Yeah,
somewhat.
We're going to get into that. So I don't know. You know, I don't feel Gonzaga is going to win six games in a row in the tourney, but a lot of people do, and obviously they're the top-ranked team on a lot of power ratings. So there's some things opened up, and I don't know. I mean, do you still think Duke is justified at, like, plus 250 to win it all?
Yeah, I mean, off the name alone, which is something that we already know, yeah. But, you know, as a team, they have holes, and, you know, Zion Williamson is kind of making it seem like they weren't really that good to begin with anyway. But it's hard to adjust to losing your star player, Naismith Award, you know, type player. So I still think they're one of the best teams, but plus 250, I mean, just at this point, just because they lost their player, I don't know if it's anything to get out of hand about. You know, they just got a couple more games to go. So we'll have to look. We'll have to do the eye test first before we can make any decisions.
Right. And that's the thing. As you look at prices for futures, you know, when we discussed this last week, and we did this last season in February, we did a lot of these, you know, shows and podcasts where we discussed conferences and strength of schedule and things like that, mid-majors that can make a run. You got any gems that you're kind of looking forward to seeing what they do? You know, you were had – I can't remember who it was last year. Was it Texas Tech you had a big price on or somebody like that?
Michigan was the big one. But the other two mid-majors were Buffalo and Loyola Chicago. Those were the ones that we gave out. And we were – I think Buffalo was starting to get better, and people knew in the MAC they were strong. They got that win against Arizona. Smoked them. They smoked them, man. It wasn't close. But no one knew about Loyola, which I was the most proud about personally, because I think it was something I just kept saying. Like, I've seen them play, and they're really gritty on defense, but they were never able to score. And then somehow they got, like, kicked it into gear with a lot of the seniors – juniors and seniors they had, and they made that run to the Final Four. So they kind of lucked out by not getting Kentucky or Arizona, and their road was Nevada and Kansas State. So kind of lucked out on getting Loyola Chicago all the way deep like that.
Yeah, that was fun. Sister Jean, everybody knew about him by the time they got to the second weekend. So
yeah, she left early. She left early from that Michigan game. She didn't even wait for that final buzzer. They just wheeled her out, man. I don't know where she ended up going. I haven't seen Sister Jean since. That day, they wheeled her out. I said, oh, man, she's done here. She's done here.
Oh, man.
There's no death jokes on cash considerations, but, I mean, for God's sakes, you know what I mean? Oh. So brutal. That's brutal. It's great. It's great.
Well, last Sunday, Michigan State took it to Michigan and kind of flipped it around there as far as, like, power rankings and stuff. I'm kind of looking at something now, the BPI, and Gonzaga 1, Virginia 2, Duke 3, Michigan State 4, North Carolina 5, Kentucky 6, Tennessee, Michigan, Virginia Tech, and Texas Tech round out the top 10.
Yep.
Is the national champion coming from that top 10 right there?
I think so. For the most part, I would say yes. I feel like anybody in the world would say yes. But I think throughout the last couple months, you know, we talked to Lindy, just talked to a couple people that I know personally that just say, like, it looks like there's only like six or seven legitimate teams that can win the national championship. And most of them we put in that range right there as far as from a talent standpoint, coaching standpoint, just overall sense of the game. I mean, these teams are pretty incredible when it comes down to it. I'm not really sure if any of those like mid-range, like 6 to 10 seed teams can get in there and try to make noise. You know, with the top eight teams playing, or in the as far as in the rankings, playing the best that they are right now.
I'll throw this out. And AB, are you with us still? Are you listening?
I'm here.
Are you a guy who you know, so we just listed the top 10 teams that, you know, according to the BPI rankings and stuff, are going to win it. Are you a guy that would rather roll over a ticket, or would you buy or find value in a team at 5-1 or 7-1 to win the whole thing right now?
It would just depend on the sport. As far as like something like college hoops, I always like targeting like a 1 or 2 seed that I think has zero shot to win the tournament, and then betting a decent amount of money on them to win it all, and then immediately fading them.
Oh.
That's like one of the moves I used to do when I actually would watch and bet college hoops.
Okay. Okay, so bet against the team to win. So
yeah, you basically take them to win it all, whatever, you know, good price you can get. Ideally,
If I get the Zags right now, 7-1, but I don't think they can win it.
That's tough because you don't have a ton of wiggle room at 7-1, but usually there's like a 1 or 2 seed that you're going to find at like 14, 15-1. And it's probably one that you're not really high on. And then you try to target those teams like in the brackets right away so that you can find like the 7s that can knock them out in the second round, or the 8-9, or maybe they load them up with a 4 or 5 that's just brutal. You know, stuff like that.
I think you'll be hard pressed to find a 1 or 2 seed that's, you know, even double digits. You'll find maybe a couple of 2 seeds. Yeah. I mean, like, Zags are less than 10-1. Duke, forget about it, 2.5-1. Virginia, like, what's Virginia? 7-1, 8-1.
I think we have them at 7-1.
Something here. Like that. Yeah. And, yeah. North Carolina, 8-1 also.
We actually have them at 12-1.
There you go.
Yeah, they're a little bit. There might
How about
some
Kentucky?
Value there.
Kentucky, you probably got really low.
Yeah, we got them short, 8-1 as well. Yeah, Kentucky and Virginia are 8-1 right now.
Okay.
Zags at 6, and Duke obviously still at 250. Jesus.
Oof. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just was curious because, you know, you get two schools of thought. You know, you try to find the value in a team. It's hard. It's a lot harder now. It was a lot easier in December and January before conference play, or as conference play got started. You could probably get better prices. But I like that idea, going against a team once you find that price and you think they're going to lose. So you only have to go. I mean, if they get to the Final Four, you got to go 4 games deep. But that makes a lot of sense. I'm with you, Mo, though. I think the Cinderella story, long shot story, is just – it's not going to be there this season.
Right.
I just can't see it. Like, even the teams, you know, from 11 to 20 or 25 – oh man, it's going to be tough for them to go on a run and have to beat 2 or 3 of those teams that we just mentioned.
Right.
You know,
yeah. I mean, yeah. It'd be pretty absurd to see, like, I mean,
like Houston, Villanova, you know,
LSU,
your boys,
I guess
Buffalo,
LSU's,
Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah. LSU might be in that mix of teams that can probably make some noise. That's in that mid tier. I guess it looks like they have them as a 4 seed now. The most updated bracket. One of the teams that I think kind of they've had some decent wins in the non-conference, I think it was just Syracuse for the most part, but it's Old Dominion. And no one's talked about them. I think it was the first of 45 mid-majors I've tried to talk people into that right now are crashing and burning. But they're still steadily winning, and they shoot good from 3, and they play defense, and they slow the clock down. And I mean, these are the same things that Loyola did, and it looks like they have LSU in their first matchup in a 13-4. So I think out of a lot of teams that no one really kind of sees, I mean, as far as mid-majors, they're looking at the Woffords, the Lipscombs, the Buffaloes, you know what I mean? But I think Old Dominion, if they come out of the Conference USA, is a team that I think they beat down Syracuse at home. I think they have a couple decent wins against some other mid-majors on the way to conference play. And then they play at, you know, Western Kentucky, Marshall, who's been okay, just a few other decent teams in the conference, Louisiana Tech. And this is a team, if they win that conference, I think they can actually do something. But it's, you know, once they play, you know, if they get it to the Sweet 16, they're going to get smoked. But
right.
Probably the only team I could see.
They're pretty – they're an actual pretty popular choice for bettors. I know, you know, their lines move We need against them pretty much every time they play.
Right.
Yeah, Old Dom is definitely a team that has found a backing betting wise. There's been teams like that even, you know, like Lipscomb. I mean, Lipscomb, every time they play, we need against Lipscomb. You know, I've never seen them play. I wouldn't know one guy on a team, nothing. Like, I just know when we got guys that are playing this, you got to move that line a little extra and you got to make sure, you know, we kind of get some balance action because it's not, you know. So, yeah, Old Dom's one of those teams.
I think, like, well, because it's the record of the team. They've been winning, but ATS, they're terrible. But
right.
It's I've been staying away from them as far as laying any points. I've already felt that pain about a couple weeks ago. But they win, and that's all they need to do to kind of get any attention in my book. But no one's talking about them. I feel like it's a team that could actually do something in the tournament if they get there.
Right. All right, let's busy slate. On Saturday, we'll pick your brain here in a couple games, kind of throw out some lines. We did pretty well last week. I don't have the record in front of me, but I know we went through the Saturday games and we gave out some pretty strong plays that ended up, winning pretty easily. I know the Texas Tech game, we were both all over Texas Tech against Kansas, and that close.
Smoke! Yeah.
And LSU was one. Yeah, there was a bunch of good games. I don't know if you I'm sure you had a ton of action because there's
I got crushed, Dave. Saturday was brutal. I had to take a nap because it was going so bad, like towards the morning, And then I woke up, I thought it would be, somewhat better. And it was just as bad, Dave. I mean, just absolutely terrible. You know.
Jeez. Should have listened to the show.
Yeah, I know. I was just listening to myself. I think when we were going through the games, I was just looking at other games like, I'm going to take this here. You know, just kind of at the supermarket, just kind of throwing stuff in the basket.
Right.
You know, you can't
go to the supermarket hungry, Mo.
You gotta eat
before you go.
I want to just go on record to say we're the ones to put that analogy in as far as the market. And don't go there trying to destroy every game.
Yeah, you got to be selective. You really do. That's the key to this whole thing with college basketball.
Well, it was one of my worst Saturdays to date. Like, it was historic. Oh, so I'm going to just go ahead and, it's like a bad game from a great team. Like, they don't even watch the film. They just like, you know what? That's anomaly time.
Flush it. That's it. Gone.
Yeah. That's great. All right.
So we'll hit you with some games, and we'll try to keep it moving. Michigan State's at Indiana, early game Saturday morning. 6-point road favorite.
Yeah.
Danger here for the Spartans?
I think so. I feel like they've been playing better since they lost their initial game to Indiana. I'm not going to count that Illinois loss. That was kind of brutal as well. But, yeah, coming off that big win against Michigan, I know that they I don't know if Izzo's going to have them kind of falling asleep here, but I think Indiana's played better. They got a great win against Wisconsin, and I think they'll try to match up as well as they did in that game in East Lansing, and I think they'll be inside that number.
Wow. All right. I agree with you. Let's see here. Syracuse Wake Forest, forget that. Oh, Kansas is laying 7 at Oklahoma State, also an early start.
Right. And then Kansas finally got their big win against Kansas State after getting mauled. And I thought that was a great spot to bet Kansas. I had a little bit there.
At home.
Yeah, great
on
win.
Monday. Short number.
Yeah, short number.
It was only 4, right?
Yeah, short rest. Only on a day and change, to get prepped and get ready. So, I thought they played great. And Oklahoma State gave Texas Tech a fight. I think that was on Wednesday. Is that right, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
And Texas Tech also came off that big win against Kansas. Going into that one at home. So, it's tough. Oklahoma State's been brutal to watch. I remember one game, I think it was against Texas Tech the first time, they ran a 6-man rotation and lost by about 30. I can't really figure them out. I know that they shoot threes just as well as any team in the Big 12. They're lights out from three. It's basically the only thing that's going to keep them in this game. If I was telling a buddy, if I had no choice, I would take the points at home. But I don't know if I'm ready to bet against Kansas. So, for me, it'd be a no play. I'd bet the dog. I think I'm going to just not get involved there.
This is one I would take the home dog again. You kind of, and it's one of those we, you know, we say the expression "hold your nose."
Right,
just
right.
Take it and don't look. Just watch and
don't even
go from
watch.
There. Yeah,
I like nah. it. I like it. Don't even watch. It's
nah.
great.
LSU. This one looks. I don't know what to make of the line. It's only a 1.5 point favorite at Alabama.
Yeah, I think Bama's played their best basketball at home, as most college basketball teams do. You know, they got that big win against Kentucky earlier this year, big win against Mississippi State, I think they beat Auburn at home too. So just a few teams I'm listing off that have been solid throughout the year. So Alabama's they're not going to be starstruck by seeing LSU coming in with the big wins they have. For me, I would probably still side with the home dog. Usually that's what we do with the short number, Dave, I think, for the most part. You know, LSU, I don't know if they have Tremont Waters. It doesn't seem like they've been needing him. Two big wins without him. For me, I would go with Bama, go with Avery Johnson. I feel like they can score just as much and kind of keep the pressure on LSU and probably get a win here.
Okay. I'll go opposite you there, and it's not because of anything you said. I just think LSU closed as a 6-point favorite at home against Alabama back opening conference play. Well, geez, it's almost 2 months ago now. And now it's 1.5. I feel like the line should be a little bit bigger. It's probably a trap, and you're probably going to be right. Alabama will probably win and cover. But I'll bite, and I will take the short favorite there and go with LSU. Yeah. So.
Man, there's a possibility where they won't lose again as well. So go ahead. And
well, that's what
chalk
I think. I
up.
Think they got some momentum.
Maybe
right
they
now.
Don't lose.
That I'm going to ride the momentum train there and go with LSU. Let's see. There's some other mid games there.
I'm looking at the wrong date. Jesus. Sorry. I was
How
looking.
About Wisconsin at home against Penn State? Wisconsin's laying 7 or 7.5. The boys at Penn State have been playing some pretty good basketball, competitive, very tough at home. You know, a big upset of Michigan at home. I don't know, dude. I think the dog here is live, actually, to win the game. Am I being biased, or you think Penn State's got a shot?
No, I think you're actually right here. But I think for the most part, besides the win at Illinois, which – I mean, it was almost ridiculous that Illinois was laying points to anyone, especially
yeah, right.
Penn State, which we were all over Penn State. I think it was like our only legitimate win of the morning, which we didn't have to sweat out. But most of the wins have been at home, and then I think they had to play Purdue, which they had a rough. They struggled against them a little bit, you know, down on the boards where Wisconsin actually does well. So I think Wisconsin plays better here at home. Man, you know, it's rough betting against Penn State because they finally found their niche. They're finally scoring just as well as they were last year down the stretch. I'd probably lay, if I could just lay a short – like, there's still sevens out there. I'd lay a short number. I think Wisconsin will find their edge after losing to Indiana. It was just such a tough loss for them. I think Wisconsin's good here at home.
Total's low, 130.
The usual Wisconsin. Wisconsin total. I think that's what we were saying about the Big Ten totals, and I was looking at the morning ones, and they were just flying under.
Yeah.
I think a few of them flew under. I don't know if that's actually correct, but I remember seeing some of the scores in the first half, and it was just not really scoring much, man.
No, and it's probably going to continue even into the – maybe something to watch, you know, in the conference tourney. We'll see. All right. The matchup, one of the matchups pretty much of the day, maybe the top matchup of the day, the rematch, Kentucky at Tennessee. Revenge game, Mo?
Yeah, huge.
Revenge tour?
Huge.
Huge, right?
Man. Tennessee has been – they had the rough loss to LSU on the way there right after. You know, this is going to be a big – I mean, I know they've been looking forward to it, and it's just – you know, they're not going to let Kentucky run all over them, and we know that for sure. What do you think about the number there, the line there? I think 2.5, 3 is what they're showing right now.
Yep.
For me, I think it's fine. I think we had it at 4 when we had the advance line out a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like it should come down to about 2.5, 3 after the first deal. And how Tennessee's kind of looked down the stretch, I think they just struggled, right, against Georgia. Is that right?
The last game they played was at
Ole Miss.
Oh, it was Ole Miss.
Yeah, they won by 2, 73-71. It was they were down actually and came back and won that game late.
Yeah, that was the same day Kentucky struggled against Arkansas, right, towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of missed calls at the end of that game. It's like the refs kind of wanted Kentucky to win.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was
a little bit.
It's as if really, you start to wonder about some of these calls as you really watch the games at the end. And
yeah.
It makes me want to bet first halves instead of games anymore because the end of some basketball games really turn into a circus and you just start to wonder. I mean, between totals and sides, it's hard. It goes both ways. But man, there's some calls, and you're just like, did that really just happen?
Yeah.
And you can't do. You know, you just go.
No, it's absolutely mind blowing. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's tough.
I always just call them premeditated calls. They know what they're doing. I don't really want to get into it right now.
Right. Right.
But segueing back into the game. I like Tennessee. I think
you got to take Tennessee.
I think
right?
Tennessee's the level of you know what they're going to be doing on their home court is going to be enormous. I think it's going to match what they had in Rupp. What the players fed off. I'm not really sure if Reed Travis is healthy, and he was a key part of getting rebounds and playing good defense. So I think he was on Grant for a little bit, and he was all over the court. So. For me, Kentucky doesn't shoot threes as well as they did in that game against Tennessee. And I think they'll struggle a little bit for the most part in this game, which will keep Tennessee in it. And then possibly, you know, good down the stretch to win the game, by maybe 6 to 7 points.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, this one feels like it's Tennessee or nothing for me. This may be the last game Kentucky loses for a while.
What about some Tennessee first half? Speaking of first halves, what do you think about that? I feel like that's good.
I like that. That's probably good. Jack
be good right there.
Yep, I like Tennessee first half. I like Tennessee for the game. I expect the line to close lower. I think it'll go down to 2.
Yeah,
that'll probably be the resistance number.
We're already two-way action here, man. It's 1 o'clock at night, and people are still betting Kentucky and Tennessee. So we'll see a lot of handle on that for sure.
That will be the most popular, biggest handle of the day.
Guaranteed.
I think. Yep.
Yep.
Unless
someone gets like
Virginia's
info.
Virginia's laying 19.5 at home against Pitt. I think this is one of those favorite and unders. Wow, 124, 123.5. That number's going to come. Oh, my goodness.
I can't even imagine what Pittsburgh could score in this game. Virginia just absolutely destroyed Georgia
40?
Tech.
40? Yeah. Does Pitt get 40? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
They don't shoot free throws good.
They're pretty bad. Yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think they run a lot, but I feel like if they get behind at any point, it's just they're going to get suffocated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 40 or bust for Pitt, favorite and un for the day, but I think we're okay there.
Right. Yep.
I'm going with that.
You don't normally hear
that,
yeah.
Favorite and un. It's beautiful. Love college basketball.
Let's see here. Texas Tech at TCU.
Key game.
Texas Tech is 3.5-point favorite. Oh, man. Is this one where you lay it? I don't know. That's a good number.
Yeah, it's a key number for sure, 3.5. Anything from 2 to 5 is pretty solid, especially in games that are going to be close, as if this one might be. I think TCU's been struggling down the stretch, man.
This is one where I think we're going to take a lot of one-way action.
Yeah, they've had
on Texas Tech.
Yeah, it's gonna be rough. And I think Texas definitely I think we talked about them last week as being one of the better teams that's coming back up, which they were kind of dead for a little bit, and now they're making a move in the Big 12. TCU just lost to West Virginia. That was a tough one on the road. I think I'd go with the home dog in this case. I think TCU's played way better at home. But if I didn't have to get in, or if I'm thinking about not getting involved, I don't want to get in the way of Texas Tech at this point.
Right. Okay. That might be one of those hold your nose, take TCU and the points. Just wait for the game time to get close and I think grab the inflated number. I don't think that one goes anywhere but up from 3.5. I think you'll catch 5 by tip. So that's one to look for. Central Florida at Houston. Houston is a 7.5-point favorite. All they do is win. All they do is cover, it feels like. You can't make the number high enough. Central Florida doubled somebody up last week.
Yeah, that's a Sunday. SMU.
Yeah.
Smokefest.
They literally, I think it was 98-50, I believe was the final score, something like that.
Yeah. You're close, though. Don't even worry about it. You're in the range. It's not like you're off or anything. I mean, it was about.
Are you aware that Central Florida has a center who's 7'6"?
Yeah, Taco Fall.
That's his name?
Yeah, Taco Fall. Yeah, T-A-C-K-O. Yeah, he's kind of a hot commodity for the most part now. I don't think
he... Well, just when you watch the games, he's that much taller than everyone else. So you don't see that anymore since Manute Bol, like, or Yao Ming. Like, yeah, this Ming. Kid, we literally turned as the game tipped, and I said, how tall is that guy? And immediately had to look him up, and 7'6". And he just started playing basketball like 3 years ago, something like that. Maybe even not less. I forget. But, man, Central Florida, they run it's a slow offense. And they put up – it was 95-48 last Sunday against SMU. They're 7.5-point dogs. Is that enough? I don't think it is.
No, I they've already played this year where a lot of people thought UCF was going to come in. And Houston went to UCF, and it didn't turn out well. I think Houston was up big for most of the game, ended up winning by 9. Houston's just too skilled, and – they can play that type of ball that UCF plays, and they defend just as well as anybody in the country. So, you know, I UCF's had a couple good – well, wouldn't so go so far to call them good wins, but they had a decent win on the road against South Florida. But I think they might run into a buzzsaw here. I think Houston's for real, man. And I know UCF's going to be pumped to be, you know, able to play there, but I think Houston gets by and wins by double digits in this one.
Okay. Let's see here. As we get down on the schedule, we get into a lot of these Pac-12 games. And, man, the Pac-12 is a mess. Your tweet the other day was great, back and forth with Lindy. God, that was so funny. Washington was an 11.5-point favorite, a monster number on the money line, making a bid to, you know, have a decent seed in the NCAA tournament. And they go and lose at Cal.
Perfect. Perfect scenario. Oh. No, I think I've went 0-6 on Cal bets this year. you know, absolutely just terrible. I can't pick a Cal game. And I see them, I think Washington has like a, you know, one more shot to tie it. It's not even close. And I'm just like, man, like this is basically the nutshell game of how I've been doing, not just with Cal games, but in Pac-12 games. I also had Arizona State last night. I don't think they scored their first actual bucket until the 8-minute mark of the second half. I mean, so, you know what I mean? I was just like, well, I'm done here. I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
But
Pac-12 is impossible. So we're not even going to discuss any of these Pac-12 games. Yeah, I got one more.
Let's just scoot by.
North Carolina.
It's a good one.
At Clemson, right?
Yeah, this is a good one. Let the Little John Center. Is that what it is? I think that's
4-point favorite.
Oh, yeah, that's
it.
Oh,
man. I think I'm going to lay this. I think I'm going to lay this number. And I love home dogs, but I think I'm going to lay the points with North Carolina. What do you think?
You know, they play such like this up-tempo basketball. And the defense is there. You know, like they know the proper techniques on defending. Like I watch it. It's weird because I'm saying it because I was watching that Syracuse game. And, you know, Syracuse was running up and down the court, but they just make the right plays on defense to keep the momentum going on offense. And it's just hard for teams to do stuff like that. I watched it against Duke. They ran over Florida State. They ran over NC State. I mean, teams that can get out, they make the right plays on defense to continue the momentum. And Clemson's not going to be able to, you know, withstand that. Barring it might stay within the number for a little bit late in the game, I think North Carolina gets over it and win. They might win by double digits, man. I think they're on a roll. I don't think anyone's talking about North Carolina. Is this true? Is like, I feel like more of it's like with the Kentucky and Duke and Gonzaga.
Well, and you're right. And obviously it's kind of reflected in the future price, and their big win against Duke is discredited because of Zion's shoe blowing out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So like, I don't think they're being given enough credit for what they've done, and this they've been tearing teams up.
Yeah, they played Florida State right after, and Florida State, incredible defensive team. You know what I mean? they can beat just as they can be just as good as anyone if they wanted to on any given. And they rolled them by 20. You know what I mean? Like, they're a great team. I just think that style of offense of like, I like what they're doing because they kind of came out the gate slow and now they're rolling. Like, this is a team I could back going into the tournament offensively.
Right.
If they had a dud, that's fine. You know, I can die with that. But I mean, if they're rolling, I think they can beat anybody in the country, bar none. Mm.
8-3 in their last 11 games against the spread. They've been favored in every single game they've played. They were pick 'em at home against Virginia, and they were 9.5 at Duke. But otherwise, favored in every game. And like you said, up-tempo basketball, they score 77, 79, are the two lowest numbers they've scored in their last 10 games. It's all in the 80s or higher. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think Clemson's going to score enough in this one. This one is a road favorite that I'll make a case for. So I'm with you. North Carolina wins this game. They win at BC their next game, and then they get the home game against Duke, man. So may be the time to jump on them if they win the home game against Duke, their price is going nowhere but down, right?
Guaranteed.
For the future.
Guaranteed.
So, yep, this might be the week to grab them. And if they lose to Clemson, for sure, this would be, you know, you might get 15-1 or in that neighborhood. So,
right. Yep.
All right. Well, that'll do it for the college basketball talk. We'll jump to the NBA. We'll bring AB back
AB?
In.
AB?
Is he around?
I think he's gone.
He's gone.
He's in the room with me. I think he's gone, though. Mentally, he's out.
Yeah.
He's whoa,
he's back. AB, tell me you watched some at least highlights of some NBA action tonight. I mean, between the Portland-Toronto game, Milwaukee at the Lakers, there was some good NBA stuff tonight. No, I mean, Chicago, Atlanta, a 4 overtime game with two teams that are playing for the lottery pick. Some good stuff tonight, right?
I couldn't get enough, man. I was having such a hard time like actually doing my job. Don't tell Junkyard. But
he's not listening to the show.
Right, yeah. He's got the baby. Congrats on the
baby,
my
congrats.
Wife.
If he is listening to the show, absolutely congrats. You have no idea how your life has changed, but enjoy it now. Absolutely.
But yeah, man, I was so psyched, and those three games stood out by a mile. What Trae Young's been doing. I've been a big Trae Young since I've seen him play at Oklahoma, which should shock everybody.
Excellent.
Because I don't like
Look
college
at that.
Basketball.
Yeah.
And I told Mo, I was like, this guy's the one. This is the guy. This guy's going to be a pro. You just can't teach shooting like that. I mean, it's another level. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he can pull up from where he does and just, I mean, it was magnificent. If you got a chance to watch it, you got to go back and watch it. I mean, what he was doing was just off crazy. And then the Bulls played great too. I mean, Levine had some just incredible dunks in the game. Lauri Markkanen was playing well, although he got really shook on a Trae Young layup, but another story. He's a big man. It's okay.
Yep.
Toronto was two really quality teams just, like, you know, going back and forth and punching each other in the mouth. A lot of veteran-type stuff on the offensive and defensive side. Kawhi finally made a game-winning shot while
yes,
I was
he
in
did.
The dungeon. He was 0-3 in the dungeon.
That deserves some applause. I think that he's wanted it. He's been waiting, so.
Yeah, so that was nice. And then, yeah, I love watching my man Giannis, do what he does. He wasn't really scoring a ton tonight, but he's contributing in the other ways that stars contribute when, you know, they're not dropping 30 points. He was just absolutely cleaning up every rebound, getting the assists going a little bit. And then Eric Bledsoe was just phenomenal right after signing the big contract. So,
right.
Great stuff, man. I can't wait for the playoffs. I'm so into this NBA. I love it.
What is Giannis like on a pitch count, like with minutes, or what's
yeah,
what the hell is going on right now?
His knee is like sore.
Okay.
So they just don't want anything, you know, crazy to happen with the position they're in. I mean, they're in the one seed in the East, so they know they just clinched the first playoff spot of the year for an NBA team tonight with the win. So, you know, they just don't want anything crazy to happen. I think as long as they're resting him in the back to backs here and there, like, I mean, right. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he's not playing tomorrow at Utah. But I think in the same token, they don't have that kind of, you know, experience to necessarily be resting everyone when, you know, they got a lot of work to do to get through the East alone. Right.
And obviously they want and need, I think, to have that one seed.
Yeah, I think it's important to a few of the teams for sure. Yeah. I think they could beat a couple teams that are, you know, the bigger, I guess, the heavyweights of the East. I just feel like they will beat the Sixers no matter where they would play.
Mm-hmm.
Boston, that one could be tough if Boston could get it together. But they've been a mess. So who knows even where they're going to be seated by the time this thing starts.
Right. Well, we'll kind of lead into – we'll take a quick look at tomorrow's games. Real fast, we'll maybe run through a couple what you think. But mm-hmm. I'm interested in what you think about – you know, like you said, we don't know if Giannis is going to play tomorrow. And as a result, there isn't a line anywhere, at least that I'm aware of. I'm looking at the screen and don't see anything. The stuff that goes on with the NBA is very interesting because, like, all the moves that happened on Thursday, every one of them came in. you know, somebody knew Durant wasn't playing for Golden State before we did. And, you know, you take bets on the Magic all the way down the ladder and Golden State blows a 15-point lead and loses. That happens. But then the other one was Philly was playing OKC, Paul George, undisclosed illness, whatever it was. There's a huge move and they go from a 6-point favorite, 6.5 to a 4-point favorite. And, you know, the Sixers blow them out. So it's interesting what goes on with the NBA with the injuries and the questions. Milwaukee at Utah tomorrow. That's the late game. Milwaukee's got to be favored, but it's really going to become a short number if no Giannis, right?
Yeah, for sure. Especially on the back to back. And the Jazz are playing great basketball. Yeah. Yeah, Jazz are playing great right now.
Yeah, they just had a big win at Denver their last game.
Yep,
right? Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, they started off the year with a really strong schedule, and I believe these are the two hardest games they have the rest of the way, mm-hmm. the Nuggets and then the Bucks. So they're probably going to go on a tear. I mean, there was talk that they may even be able to climb up to the 3 seed in the West, maybe even the 2, depending on what the Nuggets do after that loss.
It's crazy. In our futures market, we cannot get a bet on the Jazz at all. We just, you know, they're just an overlooked team, and they're a quality team, like you said. And looking ahead, they're going to win. I think there's 22 games left, something like that. They're probably going to win 17 of those games, minimum.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, it sure looks that way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they're capable. They have the kind of schedule where they can really make a run here. But, you know, the Thunder and Blazers and Rockets, I mean, they're all playing so good.
Yeah.
Nuggets and Warriors even, too. I mean, it's just – it's crazy, man. Like, the West and the East, I mean, the top teams in each conference are really loaded this year. It's great.
So, the two really marquee games tomorrow, in addition to Milwaukee, Utah. OKC's at San Antonio, and there's no line again for that because we don't know Paul George's status.
Yeah, he's doubtful, so
right.
that'll definitely affect that. So
OKC probably a short favorite, you'd say?
Yeah, probably like 3.5 I would think, without George, and then probably like 5.5
five and
George.
Yep. Yeah. And OKC coming off the loss to the Sixers. Any side you favor in that one?
Hard to say. I think the Spurs have just had a horrible run lately.
They did that rodeo trip,
3-10, I think.
Yeah, they were away from home for a long time, and it really catches up to them. I mean, they lose to some bad teams, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they've only lost 7 games at home all year.
Right.
So I think if George is out, they're probably a good bet to cover the point spread. If George does play, I would kind of – it's one of those games I'd kind of want to see where the line goes. You know, if it does open like as high as 5, 5.5, then, you know, if you start to see it come down, I'd probably try to scoop one of those 5.5s or 5s if it's out there.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, man, Thunder, I mean – I just think I think they're really good this year, and they're playing in that 3-seed spot, and they got a lot of teams like nipping at their heels.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're playing a better basketball right now than the Spurs. So they're a tough team to go against, but again, it's all comes down to the number. So
it's crazy because when you watch the game against the Sixers with George not on the floor, they kind of got caught looking around like, well, all right, what do we do now? You know, as it got down to the end, because George has stepped up and made a lot of big shots and has been the go-to guy. I mean, Russ has deferred that, you know, when we need to go to someone, it's been George. And they were down 2-4 points and close and tied. And it was give Russ the ball and drive to the hoop, not get fouled. Like, nobody knew what to do. And
yeah,
when you take that out of the dynamic, it's very hard. So, yeah, I mean, San Antonio looks live. I agree with you, at least to cover the spread. After being on the road that long, come home, and catching points, I think they definitely are worth a look. How about the game of the day, national TV game, ABC, Golden State at Philly. Golden State off 2 losses in Florida. The Dwayne Wade, you know, buzzer beater. And then the collapse against the Magic with no Durant. Philly, the question every game with them right now is Embiid playing? Is he not playing? Is he playing? Is he not playing? And that affects the line. I don't know what the line's going to be in this game. No idea.
Pretty sure he's out for this game. I know Clay's questionable now too. So, you know, when it comes to NBA, man, I really try to avoid any of this stuff where anybody's questionable that really matters.
Right.
That's why, like, if I can get something that tells me that George is out, then I'll consider that play. But when you've got a question mark on such a key component to that team like Klay Thompson, and you just mentioned how things get crazy when Durant, you know, is all of a sudden out, and then everybody wants to bet the Magic. But yeah, I kind of look around at these other games. I try to pick on a few teams that are in the tank mode and whatnot. I actually really liked the Hawks and Bulls game over, so that one kind of worked out. I try to find the games maybe no one's really betting, and try to find an angle there.
Okay.
Especially like overs right now for teams that are tanking is probably pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a pretty good winner, I think, the rest of the season. So, you know, I might be looking at like Detroit, Cleveland, possibly laying the points with Detroit. Thinking about the Orlando, Indiana total over. The way the Magic have been playing, I think they like to get down the floor. But yeah, I don't know. The board's not exactly jumping out at me.
Right.
But yeah, those are the kind of angles at least that I would be looking at.
And for the listeners to catch the show later, I just looked ahead to Sunday. Some real trash games, boys.
Oh, man.
A rematch, an epic rematch of the Hawks and the Bulls. Who knew they had a home at home? I think you can safely bet the under. It's a 12:30 start here for us.
Right.
And a 4 overtime game.
I'm going to write probably that down before I forget. Number. I got to write
under
it down.
Atlanta, Chicago.
It's going to kill me if I don't bet and it happens.
Houston, Boston, preview of the NBA Finals possibly Sunday.
Under Sunday.
Houston, Boston. I don't know, man. That's another one that Houston has been stepping up against good teams when they're playing bad teams or lesser opponents, laying a big number they have not been covering. I don't know. Boston will probably come, 3, 3.5?
somewhere in that neighborhood. Right.
Gordon and Kenneth Fareed are both questionable collectively. So it's the Rockets just can't stay healthy, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You just cannot keep guys on the court.
And Fareed just started. Jesus.
Wow.
I know. Yeah, he was playing great too, man. Like really good for them. First game jumps out to me with Nolan Lyon. I would love the Wizards on Sunday at home against the Wolves. The Wizards are actually trying to get after it. They're playing hard.
That's why you listen to the Cash Considerations podcast. You get someone like AB to throw out. I love the Wizards against the T-Wolves. No one else says that.
The T-Wolves are horrible on the road, man.
They are.
I just don't think they have a lot of I just don't think they have a lot of heart on that team. They're not making the playoffs, right? No, not at all. I think they've won three games in their last. Not at all. George Foreman about that. I don't know. Like I said, take a look at the markets, follow these numbers. Look at these tank team overs. And then try to stay away from the big injury games and stuff. But there's just too many shenanigans to go on in that. So you don't know what you're really laying.
So our NBA discussion the last couple of weeks has been on the Western Conference in the bottom half, who's going to make the playoffs and who's not. Has anything – and we've talked about it. The Clippers will lose a draft pick if they make the playoffs. All they do is win now. They've won since we said that. And as they continue to do that, they're separating themselves from the T-Wolves, who look like, I agree with you, they're not making the playoffs. Can't win on the road. Literally 9-23 on the road this season. Worst record other than Dallas and Phoenix. That's the third worst record in the Western Conference on the road. So they're out. Right now the Spurs are sitting in the 8th seed. Still think they're going to find their way in. So outside looking in right now, Sacramento and the Lakers – are the Lakers making the playoffs, AB? I don't like LeBron's body language. They're done, right? They look toast.
They're done. Yeah, they're done. That game tonight was a great example. I mean, they just don't play as a team. You can just tell, I think LeBron's over the whole Luke Walton era. Like, it's his team. He doesn't have the team he wants right now, and so he's just showing up. And he does play hard in portions. But I've definitely seen him disappear in parts of these games. So
I don't like his body language either at all.
For sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. There was a huddle in the Pelicans game, and Luke Walton was, talking to the team, and LeBron was standing closer to the scorer's table out on the court with his back to the team.
Yeah.
I'm like, how is this leadership? I'm like – and what made me so mad about it, and I'll go on one of my rants here real quick – if that's Russell Westbrook, that's all anyone is talking about.
Oh, he's buried.
That's all anyone is talking about. Drives me freaking crazy how LeBron gets these passes that other guys don't get. And, we were talking about the game the Thunder just lost, and you can ask Mo. I was sitting here with Mo, and I got so mad. I'm like, I love how they put these stats up about Russell Westbrook where – well, when he takes over 20 shots a game, they have a losing record. When he takes 19 or less, they have a winning record. I'm like, because they're probably losing.
Right.
So he's trying to bring them back in the game. Like, they act like that these stats, are just so skewed to what they want to say. It's crazy. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, he does. Westbrook gets a raw deal. There's no question. But LeBron gets a pass. I totally agree 100%. With you. And yeah. Even you see things like just a bad pass, and he's standing in the lane, throws his hands up and almost turns his back. They're running the other way, and he's like, oh, what are you doing? The things that happen where that if it was certain guys, they get lambasted, they get blown up on social media.
Yeah.
And post-game, LeBron can do and say whatever he wants. And – it's taken on it's caught too much momentum, and you can see the team is just not connected. There's no synergy at all. They're not playing as a team, like you said, and I would be shocked if they made the playoffs right now. What are they going to do? Go on an 8 you know, game winning streak. It's not happening. Their strength of schedule, right, is really tough the rest of the way.
Yeah. I mean, it boils down to the fact that he wanted to trade this whole roster for one guy.
And everybody knows it.
And so they know it. And that's tough, man. That's, you know, with a bunch of young kids who, you know, they get drafted there. They think, oh, man, I'm going to be a Laker for my life. We're going to win championships. And then, you know, you get LeBron comes in, and then it's like, oh, by the way, we're probably getting traded to New Orleans, who may not have a team in 2 years. So,
right.
You know, it's a lot for those kids, I think, to have to deal with at these young ages. And then when they probably are like, you know, they grew up on LeBron, but I think they also are now dealing with LeBron, the person, and that's a whole other thing. So,
yep.
It's a shame.
All right. Table the NBA talk. We'll jump to big UFC card at T-Mobile in town this weekend. In addition to before we jump into that, the NASCAR races here in Vegas this weekend. Let's break that down real quick. Anyone got anything on that? Mo, you got anything on NASCAR? Pass, good. All right. AB, you got anything on NASCAR? All right.
Zoom.
There we go. Making noise. Yeah. That's it for me, too. All right.
Listening to the NASCAR wrong show, folks.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's it. It's a hard pass. It's done. It'll be here. And I don't even want it on the TV in the room, but we'll probably have to have it on just to see when it starts, and if there are that many caution flags, however much we put up for the prop. That's it.
It'll be in the same place that Bills-Jets game was on back in the day when we were talking.
Right,
about it.
Yeah. It's got to be in on the bathroom. TV. That's it, right. That's it. All right, so we covered the NASCAR race. That's good. You can put that in the notes if you'd like. Let's go to the UFC and something that, you know, people actually watch and bet and have, you know, more and more interest in. As these cards get better and better, I'll kind of just throw out a fight or two or three, AB. And if unless you want to jump in and
no, that's all right. Cool. Yeah.
So let's see here: Garbrandt and Munhoz.
Yep.
Yeah.
Garbrandt coming off two championship losses to TJ Dillashaw, both by vicious knockout loss. Before that, he was undefeated, hadn't lost a fight, took the belt off Dominic Cruz. So, you know, those obviously are two crushing losses for him.
Current number is 160.
You're looking at like 150 to 160 on Garbrandt. There's a couple 145s, high price on the dogs, like plus 130 pretty much. Munhoz is going to want to, you know, wrestle, and, you know, Garbrandt's going to want to going to land big shots, and that's just basically how they fight. He's a tremendous on his feet with his hands. You know, if he hits you, you go down. He was able to drop Dillashaw a couple times and almost stopped him in the first fight, but it ran out of time. It was one of those kind of situations.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote in Gaming Today, I wrote about a couple of these fights. This was one of the ones I wrote about, and I normally do not recommend betting a guy who's lost two in a row. It's kind of like one of my UFC things, but I just feel like he lost to one of the best pound for pound fighters in the world. And as Pedro Munhoz is good, but I don't think he's as good as Cody Garbrandt. And I think that at some point Garbrandt lands something that will make the difference in the fight.
Okay.
Whether that's early, late, I'm not real sure on that. As far as the timing, I think he definitely, you know, should have learned from the two fights with Dillashaw to be patient. And you know, we'll see what happens. But I like him. I think laying 150, 160 is not crazy. You know, I think you're okay there.
At that price. Any opinion on the woman's fight, Torres and Zhang?
No. Okay.
I just saw the line. It's almost a pick'em line.
Pick'em, right? Yeah. I think if I had to back one of them, I'd probably back Torres, but I'm not crazy about that one. And that just would basically be a play on her with maybe a little underperceived value. She's a veteran in the octagon, so But yeah, that's not one of the ones I'm looking at.
Okay. How about Lawler Askren?
This is one of the marquee fights before they announced Woodley and Usman for the co-main. Lawler is a former welterweight champion. He's probably, in my opinion, the best fight I've ever seen between him and Rory McDonald. He's a sensational striker, tough as nails. Askren is a grind you to the ground wrestler. He's going to want to absolutely just basically, like, he's cool with winning every decision. He will get you on the ground, make it so you can't move. Anytime you move, he'll make an adjustment. But this is his first UFC fight. Undefeated. He's undefeated. He's never lost in a mixed martial arts fight. So you can kind of, like, think of him as kind of like an American Khabib type of thing.
Okay.
He's a big NCAA wrestler. He's just a fantastic, like, athlete, basically.
It's a big price, though, no?
Yeah, I mean, Lawler's kind of on the back edge, and it's a terrible matchup for him all he wants to do is strike, and he just – if he's on the ground, like, he's not going to go anywhere. Like, if you remember some of the classic old George St. Pierre fights, that's pretty much what Askren does. He will get you down, and he will tire you out for the entire 5 minutes. So he's really got to land something. I'm sure he's going to be a popular public dog. You might be able to sniff, like, minus 250 maybe later on in the night. Most places are sitting at $275 or $3. There are a couple books that have $250 right now. I don't know how much they'd let you get down, but Askren should win. There's always the possibility of nerves. There's been some good, great UFC fighters that when they made their debut, they didn't fight well or lost close decisions and things like that.
Okay.
But I think Askren's like a total pro. I find it hard to believe that Lawler will win this fight.
Okay. The co-main event, you said, is Woodley Usman.
Yep.
And
welterweight title fight.
Yep. What is he, about 165, 170 number?
Yeah, we got him a little high here right now.
Okay.
At Caesars, we're at 175.
Okay.
But yeah, 160 is pretty much market, 160, 165. We've actually got some pretty sharp action on both sides of this fight. So it's kind of interesting. I'm not quite sure. I kind of lean Woodley, just cause he's beaten some of the best guys out there time and time again. Usman hasn't looked all that impressive in his last few fights. Really grinding out some pretty ugly decisions to get here, but now he's here. So, they fight very similar. Both are wrestlers, but both have tremendous power in their hands. I kind of like the under, man. I think one of them either lands something big and it just turns the whole fight. But I expect a very technical match early on. I just think eventually, like, one guy will land something of significance and that'll end the fight.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense. The main event, it's the battle of the most common names in the world, I believe. Smith and Jones?
Smith and Jones.
Smith and Jones. It's a big number, and, you know, John Jones is, the best. Is this price – are we live at all with the dog here?
Man, I mean, I can't see it.
No.
I mean – Nah, Jones is just on another level, and I think if Anthony Smith were to land the million-dollar punch, it would be a shocker, and I think Jones would come back as a significant favorite in the rematch. He just has so much talent in every facet of mixed martial arts. Smith's been on a hell of a run, but the three guys he's beat aren't John Jones, and I think you'd be crazy to back him. I mean, I get the price. The price is nice, but I just don't see any way Jones loses this fight unless Jones himself, like, makes a huge error that he knows better than. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay.
I like the under. It's been going up. You're getting like plus money everywhere. Because I kind of feel like I could see Smith just going for it. So I think there's a shot he could, if he wins the fight, he probably wins early because he catches Jones early.
Right.
I don't think he wants to get in a 5-round fight with John Jones.
No.
There's just too many opportunities at that point for John to like land something huge, get him in some type of submission. I mean, this feels like a slam dunk win for John Jones, but I'm never really comfortable laying $9, $12 on anything unless I think it should be like $2,500.
Right.
I don't think it's quite that crazy because it is mixed martial arts and it takes one shot to change your fight.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm looking at the total under. I'll take a shot that Jones can finish him in the first round or the first 2 minutes and 30 seconds of round two.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll cover the UFC. Hopefully, if you haven't read the column, get on Gaming Today, read AB's column because he dives into this stuff pretty deep. And, go ahead.
I was going to say, I like way too many fights. So, either I'm going to kill it or I'm going to kill myself. I'm not sure which is going to happen. But it just seems to always go that way. It's like one of those things where I go like 7-2, 8-1, or I go like, 0-9 or like 1-8. So we'll see what happens. I like a lot of favorites, which always scares me. That's when I mix in a lot of dogs that I kind of feel like I'm really seeing the board. But,
right.
It just seems like a favorite card to me. I'm a little concerned to parlay. So hopefully we have a nice upset somewhere in there that helps us out.
Yep. You guys take parlays on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because we do too, but we've had to kind of limit them because, they string together 3 and 4 favorites and it just adds up and it adds up and it adds up when it's a favorite card. And then you hit – you grade the last fight. What just happened? Did that really just happen? You're like, oh. You come in the next day and you go, oh my.
It's one of those things you got to measure over time, man. I mean,
right.
The 6 and 7 teamers that cash, they're making a nice killing today. But man, when the dogs, there will be a UFC pay-per-view that, man, it's just dog, 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 and those things just get crushed.
Yeah.
So. It's a balance for sure, much like a lot of things.
All right, let's spin it around here a little bit. We'll throw some topics out there. We'll get a couple quick takes, and then we'll get out of here. Just real quick, football, because we got to talk about it because that's what everybody bets and is most interested in. Do you watch the Combine at all? AB,
I watch a lot of highlights, man.
Okay.
I'm very much into a big fantasy football league that I'm in with my friends. It's a dynasty league, so we have a rookie draft and all that kind of stuff. So I'm always looking for guys, and it helps with the betting aspect too. It
right.
Makes me feel like who I think actually had a good draft, and I don't get too tied up into the measurables and stuff. But I do like to see if a guy. Especially running backs, I think, are my favorite thing to watch just because I feel like you can kind of find some guys that can translate well with how agile they are. I look for that more than the 40 speed.
Mo, you don't watch it because you don't bet on it, right? Mo, he's not even listening. All right, he's out. it was interesting because in New Jersey, they put lines up on it. And then they decided that, you're not taking – bets on that. They voided all the bets. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
You guys didn't put lines up, did you?
No, we did not. Right. But I heard they did make it right and they were going to pay the winners or whatever if they win and then refund any of the losers. So
good. Okay.
They at least took advantage of the customer service aspect there.
Okay.
But yeah, that was a big thing on Twitter for a couple hours for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one of those things that you're just like, oh, from the business standpoint, you can't do what they initially said they were going to do. So if they made it right, all right, give them credit. It's just crazy about putting lines up on this stuff. Like I just know just from being here for as long as we've been here and in this business, it's very hard to just keep throwing stuff up, even with props and even with things like you got to kind of be sure at least
of managing it. And if you're going to offer it, you got to take bets. I mean, you know, offering stuff that you're only taking $20 on, why are we doing that, right? I mean, are you in that school of thought? I mean, we're going to put stuff up. Let's take some bets.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't see the point of, you know, putting something up unless you're, you know, willing to take a few bets on it.
Right.
I think, you know, you definitely have to be careful with the kind of bets that, you know, are coming across. You don't want to don't want to isolate yourself and put yourself at an unnecessary risk. So you do have to be careful, and you might not be able to leave everything up for as long as you might like. But yeah, I mean, you know, that comes partially with innovation and trying new things and trying to keep a customer base happy and stuff. But as you can tell, there's a lot of learning going on. There's a lot of questions about, you know, should we book it? Should we book it? I mean, it sounded like they kind of changed their mind in the middle of everything. Yeah. So that's kind of crazy, but I'm not sure how that all played out, but hopefully that's not a thing that happens a ton as we keep expanding out here in all these states.
Next question. From one AB to another AB. Antonio Brown.
My guy.
What you? I knew you'd be a fan. I know you love there's no question. Not only do you share the initials, but, I mean, come on. I know he's your guy. Where does he end up? Because he's not going to be in Pittsburgh next season. There's no chance in hell.
Yeah. Well, I know Schefter came out and said that the Raiders, Redskins, and Titans are the teams that sound like the front runners. Mm. And the Raiders, of course, have plenty of assets and draft picks to trade with Steelers. But I know there were reports they weren't crazy about not trading him in the AFC, but they wanted him out of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, they're going to take the best deal. I think realistically, they probably are just sitting there going, okay, well, we're not trading him to the Chiefs and the Patriots and the Colts. So, you know, the Raiders, I mean, I can't imagine, as good as Antonio Brown is, he's not going to just turn them into like a 12-4 juggernaut.
That one's not going to end well for him. I can tell you that right now. If he goes to the Raiders, yeah, it's not going to end well. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just think – I've seen this this kind of show before in Pittsburgh where, you know, the star receiver, you know, let's date back to, like, Plaxico Burress.
I think he's a different cloth, though, than those guys.
He is, but he
– The style of play, you know.
Yeah. But
continue.
The whole thing makes a lot of those guys – look the way they do, and he's definitely a level above Plaxico and Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace thought he was, you know, going to go places and be this and be that, and I just think he's got to go to a team with a quarterback and a running game. Like, if they don't have a running game, I mean, him going to the Raiders is not going to – it's just not going to end well. The Redskins – I don't know if Alex Smith is ever going to play again. Their quarterback situation is a mess.
Well, I think they'll end up with picking up somebody, at least somebody with a pulse.
Right.
Right. You know,
Tennessee, I think of those three teams would be the best fit, and I think would lead him to have continued success.
Yeah.
What it means for the Steelers, though, I mean, like, everybody's in love with Juju and this, and, you know, they're not going to miss a beat. I don't think they realized that Juju was good because AB was on the field and doing what he was doing, right?
Right. I think it's a combination. I think, you know, it's unrealistic to expect him to just drop 100 catches and 1,700 yards and 14 touchdowns. He's probably going to regress a little, probably into that high 70s, over 1,000 yards, like maybe 8 or 9 touchdowns. But yeah, they're going to have to get production from somebody else. I mean, I also felt like Connor started to fade a little bit. And that could be him just being a rookie. But that concerns me because he wasn't as dynamic as Bell. He benefited a lot from that great offensive line that the Steelers have, at least from the run blocking aspect. Their pass protection was shaky at times.
Right.
As Big Ben, I'm sure, would be happy to tell you. But yeah, I mean,
it's physical. It's hard to be a running back in the NFL, right?
For sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm almost starting to buy into this one guy's theory. I forget who it was, but he was talking about how he would never sign a free agent running back, like, ever. He just said, I'd just keep drafting. Just keep churning them out. 2, 3, 4 guys all like within the last 4 years. Like,
you have to. It's very hard to just do it like they used to with giving a guy, you know, a big number of carries and using them all the time. You can't. It just doesn't happen anymore. It's just you can't. And they age so quickly. The window is shortening. We used to say at 30, they're done. Well, now at 27, 28, the wear and tear of 5 years is on them. And I agree with you. I don't think we're looking to sign any free agent. I don't know.
Like for me, I think it makes sense if you're like right there. So for me, if like the Colts decided to sign Bell, I would like that move.
Yeah.
But anybody else that isn't like right there, and if they're like, man, if we just added that piece, like all of a sudden we can win it all. Mm-hmm. Like if you're not that close, there's no point in signing a guy like Le'Veon Bell. Like that makes no sense to me.
Right.
Like if the Dolphins or the Jets gave him a ton of money, I'd be like, wow, that's a terrible idea.
Yep. All right, we'll jump to hockey real quick. And I know that, you know, you're not a huge hockey guy, but the Knights made a huge trade at the deadline. They go and get a bona fide star that no one knows about because he played in Ottawa, but Mark Stone is no joke. And contingent on him coming here was signing an 8-year deal for a big number against the cap. It's going to change the dynamics of the team next season, but what it does for them this year, the Knights are all in, baby. This could actually create another level of excitement that we saw last spring with making a run at the Cup. I mean, did you see any futures action come in? I know we did. We saw a lot of bets come in on the Knights, and you know, they played really good the last two nights, won both games. I don't know. I think they're live. I think it's an exciting time again. It kind of maybe was the rejuvenation. You know, when you bring a guy in at the deadline like that, everyone gets energized and says, yeah, we're going for it, right?
Sure. Yeah. I think that was a great move because they had to make that decision. If, you know, we're going to try to do this thing again, then we got to add a big piece. And
they needed something.
Yeah, they did. I think that partially what their problem has been is that they're missing the veterans that were leading the way. And when you're adding new pieces and subtracting old pieces in such a quick amount of time, it creates this, I think, imbalance. And by adding like a superstar like that to the roster, now they're, I think that's going to affect the locker room in a very positive way. As far as the bets coming in, man, I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
Jeff is all over the hockey and I've drifted so far into the NBA now. Like I'm barely even knowing what the Knights record is. My kid asked me the other day, I was like, I think they're doing all right. I'm like, I'm completely lost now. But from what I've seen, the little bits and pieces I've watched, I just don't see how anybody beats the Lightning this year. They're amazing.
They're clearly the best team in hockey, and they're a different level from the next team down. There's no question. I don't think there's a team in the East that can beat them in a series, even Washington. Forget it. I just don't think that seven-game series they're losing. They're just too deep, too fast. They score goals like crazy. This first period over phenomenon has been nuts, and there's real legs to that, and they are – the best team in the league at it. I agree with you. The Lightning look far and away above to be the best team in the East, let alone in the NHL. So I don't know. I know from a hockey fan's perspective and being in town, it's something that, you know, we could talk about. I know your guy, Carp over at Gaming Today wrote a nice article about the Knights and the move and everything. It was just, it created the buzz I think we needed. You know, can lead them going forward. The last thing in hockey, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think the West is open, man.
Yeah,
it really feels like the team that gets hot, kind of thing, or has a good first opening round series, could really do some damage for sure.
Yep.
You know, and it's playoff hockey, man. I mean, that's what's cool about the hockey playoffs is Yeah, I feel like the wild card teams really do have a shot once they're in there.
Yeah. Have you seen these Carolina Hurricanes celebrations
I saw the Holyfield thing tonight, and I was like, wow. I'm like, this is incredible. Like, this is hilarious.
It's
like,
great,
they're
right?
Really having a good time. Yeah, I'm like, I immediately went to see what their goal differential was to see if I was going to throw a 20 on them because I've got no futures whatsoever on the NHL, which is unlike me. So I was like, maybe I could just throw $20 on them and root for them.
Yeah, they as if the season ended today, they're actually in the playoffs. And yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with the whole situation, but Don Cherry, who's 80 years old and been wearing these flamboyant sport coats for 25 years and bringing attention upon himself in Canada, is a huge celebrity and a great ambassador for hockey, said that what the Hurricanes do after the games, they're a bunch of jerks. That was actually that's where that came from. And they took that and put it on T-shirts, and now it's them against the world, a bunch of jerks.
Oh,
so they do these great celebrations after the games, and they started doing it at the beginning of the season when nobody was going to the games, and just something that they brought over from Europe. And, you know, there's teams in – I don't know if it's the Russian league or the Swedish league, but they do it. It's a great thing, and, you know, and it Don Cherry has that feel of that get off my lawn type guy and now they bring in like Evander Holyfield to do this little thing. I mean, I love it, and I think it just brings a new energy and can bring in new fans. The place is packed. They sold thousands of bunch of jerks t-shirts. I love it. I think it's great.
I didn't even know about that thing. Yeah. And now I'm like looking at it on Google and I'm seeing it. It's projected on the ice, bunch of jerks.
Oh, it's phenomenal. It's incredible. Yeah, it's great. It really is good stuff.
I can just hear our buddy Rick saying, they're going to run this team.
Right. well, if you're not a hockey fan and you get some time, find it on YouTube. You can see these celebrations. They've been pretty elaborate. They've been a lot of fun. And it's definitely a team to watch here down the stretch. All right. The last thing I wanted to just throw out there real quick, because I know you guys covered it, both in the gaming today and, you know, with baseball on the horizon and spring coming upon us, Bryce Harper contract, 13 years, AB. And we talked about Machado last week.
Yep.
And 10 years, $300 million. 13 years, $330 million, comes to about $25 million a year, whatever that is, and it's prorated earlier. How about that? First of all, forget about the length of the contract and things like that. Does it make the Phillies a World Series contender overnight?
Whew. I mean, I think they were already kind of in the conversation with just the lineup they already had. I mean, I just worry that, you know, to me, baseball comes down to pitching.
That's it.
And, you know, I mean, you can hit all you want, but when you got an ace up there that goes 8 1/3 and allows four hits, it doesn't matter, man. If they're on, it doesn't matter who's in your lineup, because you're going to have a hell of a time trying to get a hit. I mean, and we always say, you know, the best players, they hit 3 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
So
anymore, it's like 280.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like,
with all the strikeouts and power. Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the Phillies lineup now, projected to put Harper in the 3 hole, Hoskins in the 4 hole. And
it looks nasty. I mean, their lineup looks nasty.
It does. But you know what? That 3-4 spot, that's a combined like 325 strikeouts right there between those two.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's great for Phillies fans. And I have a lot of friends back there that, you know, they sold 100,000 tickets apparently the day it was announced that he signed. They're going to be completely all in, re-energized, looking forward to baseball season. And I hope there's some success. But a 13-year deal? What? No trade, no opt-out, no nothing. Just give me the money. We're going to move to Philly, and we're going to live there 6 months a year, and we're building a castle there and whatever. I don't know, man. Like, it's just too much. Where are we going with these contracts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the money in the TV is just ridiculous, you know. I mean, there's just so much money for these guys to spend on these players. And
I just thought that, like, you know, and I wish Boris was my agent because somehow he can get it done. Both. Yeah, right? Like, and I'll give him a bigger cut, you know, if he wants it. Yeah, whatever he needs. But
if he can get me anywhere in the millions, he can have 94% of it.
Oh, yeah. Wait, right, without a doubt.
Call me up, Scott. It's a good deal. Good deal, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it seems like with both these signings, they're taking the longer term deal, and even Arenado signing to his extension.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we've reached the peak as far as the number, as far as like $30 million to $32 million. You know, because Harper's is really less. And like you talked about last week, and I thought it was a great point, I'd rather take a shorter term deal for a bigger number per year, especially at the age where I'm still producing. Like at 13 years, he's going to be 40 when this is over. What are we doing?
I remember seeing the Gundy tweets at the end of his contract. He's going to be saying, I'm 40.
I'm 40. Yeah,
dude, yeah, so, man, it's crazy. I don't know. I mean, I'm with you there. I don't know where this all ends. From you know, history. I mean, it seems like these contracts are always terrible ideas, but I don't know, man. I mean, you know, it's kind of like the Joe Flacco contract. Is it worth the Super Bowl championship to have a bad contract for 5 years? Probably, you know. So
maybe.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm okay with it. I'd rather my team be competing if I feel like we're close. Again, I'd so much rather spend it on pitching though than hitters.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I want guys that are gonna, you know, I want guy. I really, what I would try to shoot for if I was a GM is just find every guy in the roster, maybe outside the catcher, that can hit 300. And just get on base, and we'll go from there, and just keep piling on hits.
Well, and that's where I think, again, and I always say this, like with when you have these outlooks and look, you're always looking at things through a different lens. And I agree with you. I think baseball is going to swing back to that because that's the way baseball used to be. We needed 300 hitters, you know, 1 through 7. We knew the shortstop wasn't going to hit. We knew the catcher wasn't going to hit. Those we wanted you to just play defense. The center fielder also cover the most ground and steal some bases. Otherwise, you know, the 3, 4, 5 guys hit for power. It was a formula that worked for 75 years or whatever. And then it changed to this home run. We can strike out 200 times or plus. As long as you hit 30 bombs, we're okay with it. Nobody sacrifices. Nobody moves runners anymore. The game has changed. But I think you're right with the proliferation of pitching and the specialists. We're going to have to get on base more. We're going to have to move the defenses. We're going to have – because when guys are on base, the shifts don't work. You know, you can't be so far out of position where nobody can cover third base when you have a runner at second. You know?
Right.
So I think you're right in that respect where it's going to come back to, yeah, we're going to need just to get, you know, guys that can hit, guys that can get on base, can bunt for a base hit. It's okay to lay down a bunt if you're on first. If the end result is on first, it doesn't matter. If you hit it through the shift or you bunt it, you're on first. Now we can do some things. So it's interesting. I just think it makes the NL East probably the division of it takes a little steam. You know, the AL East with the Red Sox and the Yankees and everything is always the one that is most discussed. And the NL or the AL West with the Astros and things are out there. But now the NL East is really dynamic. You know, the Phillies have Harper now. The Braves are back. The Nationals are with the loss of Harper, but still the best pitching staff in the division. And then the Mets are right there. Man, there's a lot of love for the Mets too. So I think it's going to bring a nice storyline, at least starting the spring. It'll be interesting, right? I mean, like, is there a clear-cut favorite in that division in your eyes?
I mean, I don't know. I'd say like Phillies and Braves are probably co-favorites. Phillies just have that incredible lineup. Braves are more well-balanced. I don't trust the Nationals at all. I've said that multiple times. The Mets, they just can't stay healthy. They're really top heavy with their stars they have. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, baseball. I'm a big fan of like teams like the Rays. You know, like I want to see these teams that get after it on defense and put runs together. And one thing that you're kind of touching on a little bit there was that, you know, when you get on base, there's just so many more situations you're putting your pitchers in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm a big proponent of like, you know, let's make this guy throw 35 pitches this inning and foul off some pitches and get a single and then get a double and then get a single and then get a walk. And you start draining that pitcher's energy and how they're feeling. And you hit a home run off them on the second pitch, they can run, you know, the really good ones, they just shake it off. They just go, okay, it's one run, whatever. No big deal.
You have to go deep in the count. It used to be expected where you would be able to hit with two strikes. And now baseball in general, two strikes, you might as well start walking back to the dugout. There's not right. So you got to go deep into counts and you got to wear these pitchers out, not just the starters. These guys are coming in one inning. Well, if you let them only throw six pitches, you have no shot. You got to throw six pitches each at bat, get this guy into 15, 18 pitches an inning, and, you know, at least pressure. There has to be pressure. If you're pitching free and easy without pressure, let alone having to pitch from the stretch, you got no shot as a hitter. You got to get a guy in a little bit of stress and duress, uncomfortable, to catch a mistake, because that's what major league hitters do. They feast on mistakes. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to baseball season. I really am. Did you see the Major League Baseball request to all the states that are offering legalized sports betting that they don't take preseason or spring training games? Were you aware of that? Uh-oh. All right, well, AB signed off. So we'll wrap the show right now. Thank you to those that were listening. Read AB's column on gaming today. And thank you, Mo. Thank you, AB. We'll talk to you guys later. Give us a follow on Twitter at Cash Considering. Thank you for listening. This has been the Cash Considerations Podcast.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.